وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ.
Call to mind when Abraham, peace be upon him, said to his father and his people, I totally disown all whom you serve. Call to mind when Abraham, peace be upon him, said to his father and his people. For a detailed discussion, see Al-Baqarah 2, 124-33, Towards Understanding the Quran, Volume 1, pages 111-15. Al-An'am 6, Notes 50-5, Volume 2, pages 245-53. Ibrahim 14, Notes 46-53, Volume 4, pages 272-5. Maryam 19, Notes 26-7, Volume 5, pages 160-1. Al-Anbiya 21, Note 54-66, Volume 5, pages 272-81. Al-Shu'ara 26, Notes 50-62, Volume 7, pages 74-80. Al-Ankabut 29, Notes 26-46, Volume 8, pages 21-30. Al-Safat 37, 83-100, and Notes 44-55, Volume 9, pages 296-300.
إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينَ.
Except the one who created me, and behold, it is he who will direct me to the right way. Except the one who created me, and behold, it is he who will direct me to the right way.
Thus the Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, not only stated his disbelief, but also adduced an argument in support of it. The reason he disassociated himself from his ancestral deities was that they had neither created him nor provided him with the guidance he needed. Likewise, the reason for his being wholly devoted to the one true God was that he alone is the Creator who can and does guide man to the straight way.
وجعلها كلمة باقية في عقبه لعلهم يرجعون.
And Abraham, peace be upon him, left behind this word to endure among his posterity so that they may return to it. And Abraham, peace be upon him, left behind this word.
In other words, none other than God deserves to be worshipped.
To endure among his posterity, so that they may return to it.
Whenever they deviated from the straight way, this word would be there to bring them back to it. This event is especially recounted to expose the disbelieving Quraysh's irrational attitude. It was also recounted to put them to shame. For if they wanted to follow in the footsteps of their ancestors, they should have chosen the role models of the prophets Abraham and Ishmael, peace be upon them. It is a pity that they chose instead the examples of their worst ancestors. It is pertinent to point out that the very basis of the Quraysh's preeminence was their descendancy from Abraham and Ishmael, peace be upon them, as also their custodianship of the Kaaba, built by Abraham and Ishmael, peace be upon them. The Quraysh should have followed those prophets rather than those of their forefathers who were immersed in ignorance, those who had abandoned the way of the prophets Abraham and Ishmael, peace be upon them, and had adopted polytheism from the idol worshippers of the lands around them. Moreover, by mentioning this error, another error of those people is also laid bare. Had blind imitation of ancestors without distinguishing between good and evil been right, the prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, would himself have done so. The fact, however, is that he told his people that he could not follow their beliefs which were based on ignorance, beliefs because of which they had abandoned their creator and made imaginary beings who had not created them their deities.
بَلْ مَتَّعْتُ هَؤُلَاءِ وَآبَاءَهُمْ حَتَّى جَاءَهُمُ الْحَقُّ وَرَسُولٌ مُّبِينٌ.
Even when they began worshipping others than Allah, we did not destroy them, but bestowed sustenance on them and on their forefathers until there came to them the truth and a messenger who clearly expounded things to them.
Even when they began worshipping others than Allah, we did not destroy them, but bestowed sustenance on them and on their forefathers until there came to them the truth and a messenger who clearly expounded things to them.
The Quranic expression Rasul Mubin can also signify that a messenger whose messengership was self-evident had appeared on the scene. His illustrious life, both before and after assuming messengership, demonstrates that he is beyond doubt a true messenger of God.
وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمُ الْحَقُّ قَالُوا هَذَا سِحْرٌ وَإِنَّا بِهِ كَافِرُونَ
And when the truth came to them, they said, This is just sorcery, and we reject it.
And when the truth came to them, they said, This is just sorcery.
For further details, see Al-Anbiya 21, Note 5, Towards Understanding the Quran, Volume 5, pages 250-2, Sa'd 38, Note 5 above.
وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ
They say, Why was this Quran not sent down upon some great man from the two main cities?
They say, Why was this Quran not sent down upon some great man from the two main cities?
The two cities mean Makkah and Taif. The unbelievers contended that were God to send a messenger, he would have chosen a leading person from either of these two main cities. On the contrary, he who was appointed to this office was an orphan, devoid of both wealth and worldly glory. As a youth, he had earned his livelihood as a shepherd. Later, he engaged in trading, and in this regard, he drew upon the capital of his wife. Nor was he a tribal chief. Such eminent Meccan chiefs as Walid ibn al-Mughira and Utbah ibn Rabia were, in their opinion, better suited for this position. Likewise, leading figures such as Urwa ibn Masud, Habib ibn Amr, Kinana ibn Abd Amr and ibn Abd Yalil flourished in Taif. Initially, they were not even prepared to consider that a fellow human being could be God's messenger. The Quran, however, refuted their baseless contentions by stressing that all along it is humans who have been God's messengers, as it is they alone who can serve as guides to their fellow human beings. It is also affirmed that these messengers did not abruptly descend from the sky. Rather, they were born like other humans and were brought up in their respective communities. They too walked about in the markets and enjoyed family lives and needed food and drink to sustain them. In response to the Quranic argument, the unbelievers said that some prominent person who commanded a large band of followers among them and inspired awe in such people should have been made God's messenger. According to their view, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, peace be upon him, was not suited for that office.
أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا وَرَحْمَةُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ
Is it they who distribute the mercy of your Lord? It is we who have distributed their livelihood among them in the life of this world and have raised some above others in rank that some of them may harness others to their service. Your Lord's mercy is better than all the treasures that they hoard.
Is it they who distribute the mercy of your Lord? It is we who have distributed their livelihood among them in the life of this world and have raised some above others in rank that some of them may harness others to their service.
This is the Quranic response to their objection. Here, a number of important points are succinctly brought about. 1. It is God's right to decide to whom He grants a portion of His mercy and to whom He does not. If this is not the case, one might ask, is it the prerogative of humans to decide who should receive a certain portion of God's mercy and who should not? God's mercy here signifies that universal, encompassing mercy in which everyone necessarily has a share. 2. let alone designation to God's messengership. Even the bestowal of daily sustenance lies in God's hand. It is God who causes the birth of humans of all types, beautiful and ugly, strong and weak, those with a sweet and others with an offensive voice, the intelligent and the dull-witted, and the rich and the poor. He grants some a retentive memory and makes others prone to forgetfulness. He grants some sound limbs and makes others crippled from birth. He causes some to be born among a developed and others among a backward people. No one other than God has any role in deciding such matters about human beings. They are, therefore, bound to live with the characteristics with which they are born. Again, it is God who bestows on people sustenance, power, honor, fame, wealth, and political authority. No one can interfere in God's decisions on these matters. Those whom God causes to rise can never suffer a fall because of the machinations of others. As for those about whom God decides that they shall encounter a fall, none can ever avert this, for all human efforts ultimately prove in vain against God's decisions. In a realm so exclusively and firmly in God's control, it seems that some people like to arrogate to themselves the right to decide on God's behalf on a matter so vital as to who should be appointed His messenger. 3. God does not bestow all endowments upon a single individual. One notes a striking difference between various people in this regard. Some are granted a particular endowment, while others do not share this. As a result, human beings are interdependent. Given this, they should not foolishly think that an elite of their community, which has already been given political power and worldly glory, should also be endowed with the office of God's messengership. Their demand to combine all excellent qualities and privileges in one single person cannot be entertained. Likewise, there is nothing odd in the fact that some people have not received a combination of excellence in intellect, knowledge, wealth, physical attractiveness, power, and prestige.
Your Lord's mercy is better than all the treasures that they hoard.
God's mercy here specifically means the mercy of messengership. The Quran here clearly points out that the Quraysh chiefs, whom the Meccans respected for their affluence and exalted rank, are unworthy of the august office of messengership. Compared to other positions, there is a different criterion for appointing people to the elevated office of God's messengership, for this is an office that requires the highest qualities. It is not for every powerful tribal chief or opulent tycoon to hold such august office. The contrary view held by the Quraysh simply shows how very low the standards they had set up for appointment to God's messengership were, or else they would have not thought of their chiefs in this regard. As for God, they should not expect Him to follow such an unwise course.
ولولا أن يكون الناس أمة واحدة لجعلنا لمن يكفر بالرحمن لبيوتهم سقفا من فضة ومعارج عليها يظهرون.
Were it not that all mankind would become a single community and follow the same way, we would have provided for all those who disbelieve in the Merciful One silver roofs for their houses and silver stairs on which to go up. And silver doors to their houses, and couches of silver upon which they would recline.
وَإِن كُلُّ ذَلِكَ لَمَّا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ عِندَ رَبِّكَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ.
Or that they be made of gold. Surely, all this is only the enjoyment of the life of the world. But true prosperity in the hereafter with your Lord is only for the God-fearing.
Or that they be made of gold.
For the Prophet's detractors, wealth represented the very zenith of all bounties, the climax of all that deserves to be cherished. God, however, attaches scant importance to it.
Had it not been fear that men would be drawn towards unbelief, God would have granted all unbelievers houses of gold and silver. Wealth is no index of a person's moral or spiritual excellence. This is evident from the fact that many wicked people, whose rotten stench engulfs a whole society, are wealthy. Hence, it is foolish to regard wealth as a sign of someone's greatness.